Diary, April 1900. April 7th to 29th, 1900. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong. It is raining in soft showers. I am not free from the cold contracted in Geelong. My heart is not right in its action. I try to rest in my mind and thoughts, but I cannot. My mind is upon America. I fear I cannot remain here 6 months before I shall take the steamer for America. I do not desire to go, but I have for some months been fighting the warfare pro and con in reference to America. It seems urged upon me to go. This means very much to us here, and we see the needy fields testifying their ripeness for the harvesting. I wish to go, and I wish to remain. I am conversing with our people in regard to the perfect union that should exist between the medical missionary work and the ministry. They should not be kept distinctly apart. The medical missionary work is the gospel in practice, working as God's helping hand. And the medical missionary work is to open the door of entrance to the truth in many places. Those who stand aloof are not wise in thus looking with suspicion upon this work. I am not as clear as I would like to be as to how deeply the work of laboring for the worst classes should be carried. I can but fear and tremble lest there are some engaging in the work for the lowest class who will not endure the test and trial and the exposure to everything evil and horribly vile. I am afraid they will, by beholding, become changed, and that they will lose their own refinement and purity of thoughts. How this thing shall be managed is a trying question to me, for it is presented in a dangerous light if it is carried as it has been. There is a class of people to be sought and to be fished out of the many erroneous doctrines, who would, if labored for, be saved and would become workers together with God. The Lord would have medical missionary work and the gospel ministry combined, and what a work might be done in any place of our world. The medical missionary work is the gospel practiced. And all ministers who could combine with the gospel ministry the work of the gospel medical missionary would be doubly useful. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong, New South Wales. We are preparing our American mail. I have many things I desire to see accomplished before we shall leave for America. I am greatly burdened. I have been instructed decidedly that the work Dr. Kellogg has been doing in Chicago is not the charge and work God has called him to do. He has his certain work appointed him which others cannot do, because he has not taken them with him to share the same important work. Should he be removed by sickness, there are but few who understand just what to do in any emergency. There is the one man that has not taken any other man sufficiently with him. Dr. Caro and Brother Sharp came to see us with the new physician just come from America. I could wish this brother was an older physician, one that would be a counselor to Dr. Caro. He, Dr. Caro, feels too much as if he could come in and act as efficiently as Dr. Kellogg. He cannot do this. While he is to act in a similar work as Dr. Kellogg, he has not obtained the experience in unfavorable circumstances, and never has been qualified to do the same things Dr. Kellogg has done under very trying circumstances. If Dr. Caro wears the yoke of Christ, he will work in companionship with Christ and learn the meekness and lowliness of Christ, and will find rest to his soul. The religious experience that God has given to Dr. Kellogg, Dr. Caro has yet to gain. Himself and wife did not surrender themselves to God and walk in Christ's footsteps when they were in the student life. There was too much frivolity, too much of self, of scheming and planning, too much extravagance, too little solid progress in religious lines, and all the cheapness brought in, and all that was constructed into their lives, was unfitting them to take the right view of life. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong, New South Wales. I am hungering and thirsting for divine guidance. I want the windows of my soul opened heavenward and the sweet atmosphere of heaven to come in and pervade my soul. I can then close the window of the soul earthward. I want to be receiving the increased light that comes with every crisis, and not lose a jot or tittle of the instruction given in the correction of the error and wrong way that some will be tempted to pursue. Their example is not safe but perilous to the shaping of the characters of those who feel sufficient to walk alone, without counsel or advice, and close examination of every phase of the development of character, from the beginning to its completion. When these persons shall go on and on to do a work that causes confusion in some of its parts religiously, there is the destroying of the symmetry of God's work, so that it is marred and not a complete pattern. This has an influence to unsettle those minds who had need of a perfect influence, to give confidence to all not sufficiently rooted and grounded in the principles of Bible faith and sacred truth, that works by love and purifies the soul of the receiver. The weak and lame who are defective in character need firm, plain, holy footsteps to follow, patterns of the faith of the believers in the gospel, applicable to this time and occasion. They see these men, older in experience, walking crookedly before them. They are so weak and immature, so inexperienced, that they lose what little faith they have and begin to expect an apostasy and falling away from the truth by seeing and copying the defects of those who have been regarded as the authority and leadership. They are thrown into uncertainty, and nothing seems sure and straight before their feet. Will they consider this and watch and pray, lest they shall copy a wrong example? We individually need to learn of Christ Jesus, who is our hope and crown of rejoicing, if we follow on to know the Lord. It is a strange work that has been done religiously by many. Let every soul read the Word of God and do by obedience the work that will strengthen and confirm him in the faith and Christian hope. I was invited to attend the anniversary of the opening of the school at Avondale. I consented to speak. There was quite a representation, a larger number than I expected to see. There was singing, and then Brother Robinson prayed. Then W.C. White addressed the meeting. I was not able to hear all he said, but he recounted the work as it began and advanced from time to time up to the present showing. Then there was singing, and I spoke in regard to the importance of the teachers and students becoming fully consecrated to God and making the very most of their God-given time and opportunities, and increasing in ability and in spiritual comprehension. Our minds would improve and strengthen in accordance with the food we gave them. If we were content to take a cheap level, then we would certainly attain no improvement of character. But if we would search the Scriptures for ourselves daily and dig for light as for hidden treasure, our searching and digging would not be in vain. We should be able to bear our testimony in whatever employment we might engage. Our words, our deportment, our temper, and character would express the very work done in our daily life. We are making history in character building. Bear in mind, imperfection of Christian character is the seed sowing for others to practice. Will we all try to copy the pattern Christ Jesus? We are to follow on to know the Lord, whom to know aright is life, everlasting life. I was unable to sleep after 11 o'clock p.m. I had some things to write, and my mind was much burdened in regard to our sanitarium. We need a building, and must have it, but have not yet the money to build. Anniversary of the opening of the school in Kurenbong. I had promised to speak to the school upon this occasion. We had singing and prayer, singing again. Then W.C. White spoke to the school in regard to the first beginning, of finding the land, of the meager facilities to work with, and of the school being in the loft about the sawmill. He related the advancement step by step, and how the blessing of the Lord attended the work until we have our school now in prosperity and with an enlarged faculty, and thanksgiving should be returned to God for his favors and blessings. I had words to say which the Lord gave me, setting forth the students their privileges and opportunities to increase in knowledge and in grace and perfection of Christian character. I spoke from 2 Peter chapter 1. Maitland, after the Sabbath. Brother and Sister Robinson accompanied Sarah McInturfer and myself to Maitland. This day has been a profitable day to us all. I felt earnestly the necessity of a thorough consecration to God. We must now be vigilant guardians of the flock of God. We know there should be many more obeying the truth in Maitland. Many were convicted and almost persuaded, but the ministers have arrayed themselves against the commandments of God, and I am reminded strongly of what Christ had to meet in his day. The priests and scribes and Pharisees were exerting their influence to counterwork the influence of the greatest teacher the world has ever known. And can we expect to have greater influence than had Christ? I see in our hearers men whom the Lord loves, whose faces I distinguish. But something hinders. The cross of the Sabbath stands directly in their path. Worldly attractions are gathering their minds, and through the shepherds of the flock, Satan can represent the truth as dangerous and as unessential, while they extol the man-made Sabbath. They make an idol of a common day, while they show contempt for the creation Sabbath given of Jehovah. Kurenbong. Mail received from America Monday afternoon. We arose early, 4 a.m. Prepared to take early ride. It is cool and windy. We were well protected from chilliness. Brother and Sister Robinson walked up the hills. Both seemed to enjoy the journey very much. Sister Robinson has been quite closely confined to her schoolroom duties. We know this was a treat for her and will prove a blessing to her health-wise. We journeyed 19 miles before we broke our fast. We then ate our dry bread and nuttos, and our wants were satisfied. I was favored with 2 tomatoes, which I enjoyed very much. We had interesting conversation in reference to the important work to be done. We could only see that our success to keep in the way of the Lord was to keep, with determined persevering effort, our own souls in strict obedience to the light given us. To spend money, which is so hard to obtain, on materials with which to play tennis and cricket, is not in harmony with the testimonies which have been given to our school in Battle Creek. The danger of playing these games is pointed out, and those in the school discarded them. It has been understood all through our ranks that these games are not the proper education to be given in any of our schools. The school in Avondale is to be a pattern for other schools which shall be established among our people. Games and amusements are the curse of the colonies, and they must not be allowed in our school here. If those attending this school are not willing to come into line, if they refuse to act as it is their duty to act, let them return to their homes. The only true way to educate is to create a conscientious fear and love for God. The truth is of the highest value. Kurenbong. Monday, at 25 minutes after 9 a.m., we passed into our farm gate. We need men of moral backbone who can manage this school discreetly. My heart was pained to hear that, notwithstanding my talk before the school on Friday morning, when I read a testimony on amusements and presented before the students the danger of games, the faculty had not wisdom or discernment to understand how to deepen the impression made. They did not give the students to understand that there is an authority above human wisdom, to which they must take heed. The inclinations of the students were heeded, and contempt for the counsel of God was permitted to rule. That night the case of Aaron was presented before me. While Moses was called to the mount to receive the tables of stone written with the finger of God, Aaron was left in charge of the people. But he proved an unfaithful general. He failed to carry the people through the crisis of severe temptation to idolatry. He united with them in carrying out their plans, and the Lord declared that he certainly would have been slain had not Moses interceded in his behalf. Let the faculty read this history and be afraid. Those who put their trust in God and walk tremblingly for fear of offending him, will walk safely. Those who are acting as guardians of the youth and yet have not that education and tact which enables them to act wisely in an emergency might better draw nigh to God and learn of the great teacher the lessons so essential for them to learn if they would be true shepherds, watching for souls as they that must give an account. One thing is to be plainly and decidedly carried out. Amusements are not to be a part of the education given to the students in our school in this place. Kurenbong. I slept well last night. I thank the Lord for His goodness in relieving my mind of the great distress that came upon it. My heart has been sore and sick, but the Lord has blessed me, greatly blessed me, as I have taken my position in regard to the amusement question and the games which have been unwisely introduced by the faculty, without one word of counsel with me. We should not forget the things which have happened in the past in America. Little did I suppose that these games would be introduced and carried on upon the anniversary of the opening of our school in Kurenbong. Was this the service of thanksgivings that should have been rendered to God? I feel so sorry as I think of this, and I am instructed to say, all these movements should be sharply rebuked, for there has been no sparing of instruction on this point. I learned these things at night. Next morning I went to the school and I bore a decided testimony. The light was clear, and after reading the message of a most solemn import, I addressed words to them and left. I had an appointed hour to go to Maitland. Elder Robinson and his wife accompanied us. Will they continue this game business? Every sinew and muscle can and should be exercised to good advantage in useful labor in clearing the land. Brawn, bone, and muscle may be used to the best advantage. I could not rest during the night. Thursday morning I was heavily burdened. I could not sleep after 1 o'clock. Oh, how my heart ached! I went on the school grounds to meet the teachers, and I told them I had written that which was given me in the night season. The whole transaction was presented to me as if I was present, which I did write out. I will not insert it here. I met Brother Palmer and Brother Hughes and had a private interview with them. They said they were perplexed to know what to do with the students Sunday afternoon. They thought they could unite with them in these games, and they would not be strolling around in the bush. I said, "Is there not abundance of work to be done on this farm, where all the energy and tact would be turned to the most useful account in a good work? Why set in operation a work which is absorbing, and by repetition becomes more and more absorbing? You understand, or should understand, that all our powers belong to Him whose we are by creation and by redemption. Christ gave us an example in this world. He lived not to please Himself, even from His childhood. I should think you could see by Christ's example that there is a work of doing good to come into the education of the youth. All are to be rightly educated as in the schools of the prophets. If it takes one half of Sunday, let another teacher take the other half and educate how to do work in helping some of the worthy poor about us. There are houses that can be built. Get your students under a man who is a builder and see if you cannot find something that can be done in the lines of education and in the lines of holiness, that they may do righteousness. It was thought best for me to come Friday morning and read the writing I had written. With a heavy heart I returned home, and then considered, if teachers, ministers, and men of experience will not reason from cause to effect, then what use will it be for me to take on and carry the load of setting them right? But as the matter has been opened to me, and the result of this class of education, I must speak now. Kurenbong. I could not sleep after 11 o'clock, and wrote until morning. Friday morning the burden was upon me. I stood before the school and read that which I had written, and talked to them most earnestly, and the Lord strengthened me to speak. I knew after I had borne my testimony that the teachers and students might have taken a stand, and in no case have I ever presented a more pointed testimony on the point. But not one word was said in response to the testimony. Not one word spoken before that school to say, "The Lord has spoken to us through His servant, and we will thank God for the light that has come to us, and will receive the light and prayerfully ask God to give us clear perception of right and wrong." But not one word. I felt that the Spirit of God was insulted. Oh, must this Spirit, this example, be given to the school by preceptor and teachers? Nothing to say to sinners, to young men in that school who had stood in defiance of the Spirit of God for years in the past. Satan triumphed in this. One sinner can do much harm. The cost of the first step in an evil course is not small. The mischief and the deceptions and influence are all on Satan's side of the question. Will this go on until the Lord Jesus shall rise up, clothed with the garments of vengeance, and declare that mercy shall be no longer? The door is shut. It is done. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Elder Robinson and wife accompanied us to Maitland. The hour of starting was 11 o'clock. We were out of the gate on our way in time. The journey did me good and was a blessing to us all. I was so weighted down, I could not feel as cheerful and happy as I desired. I had for several nights been so burdened, I could not sleep. Last night, I was in prayer much of the time. I felt bruised and wounded. I thought, if Elder Haskell had been here, it would not have been thus. After I had borne a decided testimony, Satan is striving for the mastery. But God will work. After the Sabbath. I will now trace in my diary. Elder Robinson took the morning service, and the Lord blessed his labors. There are now 22 keeping the Sabbath in Maitland, and they have been baptized. Thank the Lord for this. My heart is so rejoiced to see souls who have moral courage to do the right, because it is right. Our only safety is to be right with God. There are souls thoroughly convinced in regard to the Sabbath, but who do not yet keep it. How long will they follow their inclination and keep in transgression? April 22, 1900. On Sabbath, Willie accompanied me to Sydney, and I spoke to the people from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 15. April 28, 1900. Hamilton, Newcastle. Evening after Sabbath. I have not regained my strength, and I wished so much someone would take the meeting but me. I am not able, I fear, to do justice to this occasion. There is a large number that have come from Maitland and Kurrenbong, and it is a 2 days meeting. I am praying to the Lord to give me help and strength. It seems to me my mind is too weary to work. After the meeting, we had the house full. The partition was lifted and both rooms thrown into one. Brethren Colcord, Hickox, W.C. White, Brother Linden, and Brother Robinson were present. I spoke but 1 hour from John 16. The Lord strengthened me, and I was not weary as I feared I should be. I tried to present to the hearers the large work to be done in this portion of the Lord's vineyard.